As John the Baptist's ministry was coming to an end, Jesus began his ministry in Galilee, his home region. Mark says he proclaimed the good news of God, saying, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." This was the core of Jesus' teaching. He was the long-awaited Messiah who came to break the power of sin and begin the reign of God on earth. The Jews of Jesus' day knew exactly what he meant when he proclaimed the time is fulfilled. This was what all of Israel had been waiting for. This was the Kairos moment their prophets had spoken of. But they misunderstood the nature of the kingdom. The kingdom of God Jesus spoke about was not tied to a particular place or territory. It would not immediately overthrow the Roman government, end oppression, and bring in universal peace. It would begin with God's rule in the human heart. God's everlasting kingdom would not begin for many years. And in fact, we await that kingdom now. Yet the kingdom was as near as a person's willingness to make Jesus king over their lives. The kingdom of God began when God entered history as a human being in Jesus and extended to his followers. And in response to the arrival of God's kingdom, people were called to turn from sin, to submit to God, and have faith in God's good news that God is with us and that God cares for us. The kingdom of God Jesus inaugurated brought freedom and forgiveness of sins, hope and peace of mind, and the promise of eternal life with God. This is good news worthy of our lives. After Mark details for us the beginning of Jesus' ministry in Galilee, he describes the calling of his first disciples, who, when called to follow him in that split second, had to make a decision. Would they forsake their plans to take up God's plan for their lives? They each had vocations. They were in the family business and most likely had a prescribed plan for how their lives would go. Jesus was not unknown to Simon and Andrew. They'd met Jesus before. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 35 through 49, tells the story of their first encounter. Andrew was, in fact, a disciple of John the Baptist, who, after hearing him address Jesus as the Lamb of God, went out and got his brother Simon and followed after Jesus. John, chapter 1, verses 35 through 49 says, "The next day, John again was standing with his two of his disciples. And as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, 'Look, here is the Lamb of God.' The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, 'What are you looking for?' They said to him, 'Rabbi,' which translated means 'teacher.' 'Where are you staying?' He said to them, 'Come and see.' They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, 'We have found the Messiah,' which is translated 'the Anointed One.' He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, 'You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas,' which is translated Peter. So after their first encounter hearing Jesus, Andrew and Simon had returned to their occupation. But when later Jesus called them to follow him as disciples, they immediately did so. Now John, the son of Zebedee, was also a disciple of John the Baptist. So he had previously met Jesus before as well. He must have told his brother James about Jesus, because when Jesus called them to follow, they immediately did so also. Follow is a term that signifies discipleship in Mark's gospel. It means to accept Jesus' authority, to pursue his calling, to model after his example, and to join his mission. Again, it is a mission worthy of our lives. God's plan of redemption is woven throughout history and is still touching the hearts of men and women and children today. God called Abraham to leave his country and his people and to go to a land he did not know, with the promise that he would be the father of many nations. And he followed. God called Moses out of the desert to be God's deliverer of his people enslaved in Egypt, as God delivered him from the mouth of death as a baby. And Moses followed the call. God called David, a shepherd boy, to be the king of his nation and promised him that his throne would be established forever. And David answered the call. God called Jeremiah as a youth to be a prophet to the nation of Judah. He spoke to kings and his people about the dangers of forsaking their covenant with God. God placed Esther in King Xerxes' court, made her queen, and used her to save the Jewish nation from being destroyed. God called Mary, a peasant girl, to be the mother of the Savior, and she followed the call, and every generation has called her blessed. God called the disciples to spread his good news and carry on the mission of Christ. And they did so, with many of them losing their lives for that call. God called Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. to be the messenger of his call for justice and to combat the sin of racism and segregation. And there has been no greater voice of justice in modern times. The call to follow Jesus always entails giving up something. But what is gained is immeasurable in value. Is the call of Christ on our lives more important than running after personal aspirations, plans, and ambitions? Can God interrupt your plans at any moment and say, "Go here? I need you there"? Are you available to be used by the Lord? The call of Jesus beckons those who will listen to exchange their old lives for new ones. The call is ageless and timeless. It is a call, if answered, that says, "Not my will, but your will be done, Lord. How may I best serve you? You are welcome to interrupt my schedule at any given moment. I forsake what the world values. If what it values is contrary to what you value, Lord, are you willing to reshape your life in response to God's call?" Do you remember the story of the rich young ruler from Mark chapter 10? When Jesus instructed him to unburden himself of his riches and follow him, he walked away with his head hanging low. Is there anything in your life that is preventing you from being fully open to God's claim on your life. A habit you don't want to give up. Friends you don't want to lose. Dreams that you hold too dear. God's call is greater. It's a call with eternal life and death implications. Because you could be the person God uses to care for someone in great need of guidance and help. You could be the one who could help a child to know they are loved and valued by God. You could be the one who lets someone who is lonely know that they are not alone. You could be the one who leads someone to Christ. What life is God calling you to today? The gospel of Jesus Christ is good news worthy of our lives. Amen? It's worthy. No matter what your grade is, God's great is greater. Amen? No matter what your aspiration is, God has greater. Amen? The scripture says, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard. It hasn't even entered into the human heart what God has for those, amen, who trust in Him. That's the God we serve. And we are called to share that good news. It's good news worthy of our lives. Amen?
Amen.
Let us pray. We thank you, Father. God, you're so good to us. Forgive us, Lord, because sometimes we live so beneath what you would have us to live. When you call us to live greatly for you and to make a difference in this world that truly does have life and death implications in each and every one of us, no matter how old or how young, as long as we have breath, can make a difference in this world for you. So help us, oh God, to open our hearts and our minds to be obedient to your call. To say, Lord, I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do. Have your way in me. God, may that be our prayer. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.